Hi, and thank you for joining us for In All Things, a weekly podcast of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I'm Rachel Joseph. Your host for In All Things is Dean Weaver, State Clerk of the EPC. We pray that God uses Dean and his guests to inform and inspire you about the EPC and how God is working in and through our global movement of Evangelical Presbyterian Churches. The motto of our family of congregations is, in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, charity. Now, here's Dean.
And thank you so much, Rachel Joseph, as always. And thank you, my friends, for joining us for another edition of In All Things, a podcast of the EPC, which you can find on any of your podcast platforms, whether it's Podbean or Spotify, or just go to epc.org and download. We drop a new episode every Friday to try to continue the conversation that may start in the EPC, but we hope it will extend well beyond the EPC and be a blessing to others as well, as I think conversation today will be. Today, we are going to be joined by Katie Robertson, and she is the founder and the person who's leading something called the Anchor Gathering. It's a ministry particularly for women, and that is something that I think is going to be applying not just for EPC churches, but for all kinds of people in all kinds of churches, because the need of creating that space where women can come together and share their stories and find strength and encouragement. Maybe the time has never been greater for something like that. So Katie, welcome to In All Things. We're looking forward to getting to know you and getting to know the ministry that you share. And Katie is also a member of one of our EPC churches up in the Seattle area at Chapel Hill EPC Church in Gig Harbor, Washington. Arguably, in my 3 years of traveling as a stated clerk, I would say Gig Harbor might be the singular most beautiful place that I have ever been. It is really, really a beautiful place. And if you ever get the chance to go there, you'll love worshiping at Chapel Hill. Great staff, great members of that congregation, but a beautiful, beautiful area and well worth the time for sure. Well, today's edition of In All Things is brought to you by our 44th General Assembly coming up June 18th through the 20th in Cordova, Tennessee, just outside of Memphis. We hope that you'll come and join us, for our theme is Next, based on 1 Timothy 2:2, where Paul tells Timothy to pass on to another who will pass on to another what has been passed on to him. This multi-generational idea of faith and leadership being passed on and equipping the church for next generation ministry and leadership. In fact, at this General Assembly, you will see up on the stage a lot of next gen leaders, not just from throughout the EPC, but also some right there from our host church, Hope Church in Memphis, where they will be leading us, directing us, guiding us, facilitating our conversations as we talk about what it looks like to empower and to equip and to enable our next gen leaders, because they're not the future of the church. They're the church now. And we'll be talking about that next at our upcoming General Assembly. One quick side note is, as you register for General Assembly, the registration for that goes up at different points in time. You want to be checking our website to make sure you get in the most stewardly way possible. But we do have on those registrations a couple of opportunities for pre-assembly activities on the Monday before GA, whether it is going to the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, which is really spectacular, or going to a little family hangout time at a place not terribly far from the church where there's going to be food and games and cornhole and hanging out and all of that good stuff. Some really good opportunities for us to spend time together in meaningful ways, because the EPC, after all, is really a family of churches. And while we're in different time zones, Katie, and different church families locally, we're part of this one larger EPC family. And so when I heard about the Anchor Gatherings, I was really intrigued to learn more, because I think we probably need to be paying better attention to the kind of things that you and your team are doing. But before we get there, tell us a little bit more about yourself so that our audience gets to know you a little bit, and then we'll get into what God has called you to do.
All right. Well, first of all, yes, I do live in Gig Harbor, Washington, and you definitely did a wonderful description of our beautiful little town. But I did grow up in Seattle, in the Seattle area. I am the youngest of five by 5 minutes. I have an identical twin sister, and I grew up in the church, and it was when I was 12 years old. I heard the good news of Jesus Christ at a concert, and I just couldn't wait to ask him into my heart. And that year of my life, I got my first Bible, and the rest is history. I developed a passion from 12 years on to want to share my faith and how real Jesus is. So it was actually in high school, I got involved in Young Life, and I got involved in my youth group. I was one of those, I could not get enough, inviting everyone to come. And then in college at the University of Washington, I actually became the children's intern at University Presbyterian Church for a few years, and also became a Young Life leader. And it was there I met my husband, Ron Robertson, at a Young Life camp, the camp called Malibu up in Canada. And he was on Young Life staff for 18 years, and we've been married for 37 years. And we have three grown children. Our youngest, I start with, he's 29, married, and he and his wife work and live in London right now. That's a big new thing for us. And then our second daughter, Annika, she's married to Gray Seegers, and they live in Davidson, North Carolina. They have three little girls, our darling granddaughters. And fun fact about Gray Seegers, he is the associate pastor at Story Hill in Davidson with Pastor Michael Flake.
So there you go.
That's... I had to just drop.
Yeah.
It's kind of a small world. I'll be
nice.
I'm going there on Sunday. So, yeah. And then our oldest daughter, Karina, she'd be 33, and she's actually in heaven. And she passed away at the age of 19 after a five-year battle with leukemia. And back to my degrees at the University of Washington, I got my teaching degree and speech and hearing science degree. I was a former school teacher, and I am an author and a speaker. And I've had 35 years in the Young Life ministry as a mentor and leader. And I most recently am the founder and director for the outreach ministry for women called the Anchor Gathering. And when I'm not working, I love to be with my family. We are now becoming world travelers. And I also am an avid runner. That is really one of my favorite things to do. And boat here in the Northwest, go to our cabin in the mountains.
Okay, so Katie, I have a whole bunch of follow-up questions because you just so much good stuff in there. So number one, does your twin hold it over your head that you are 5 minutes younger? Does she give you that, the business for, you know, being the older sibling and you got to respect her because she's older? Do you get that all the time?
Well, she definitely been the boss. Her nickname is Sarge. So she has definitely been my big sis, but we are best of friends.
Nice.
She just moved to Gabe Harvard, and we have definitely been, people, they've been thinking she's me and I'm her, and we had to get rid
of her. Nice, nice. All right, so question number two. Do you remember what the concert was when you came to Christ? Who was playing?
Oh, yes. Well, it was a local guy at the time. He's now a big pastor at a church, Wayne Taylor, Pastor Wayne Taylor. And my older sister was our youth group leader and took my twin and I to this concert. And I'm serious, hearing the news of Jesus Christ dying for my sin, and I could have him in my heart forever. I'm
like,
I am in. So that concert was a turning point.
Well, and I came to Christ through the ministry of Young Life back in the day when I was about 14 years old. And you've had a strong Young Life background. And I have to ask, when you were at University Pres, was Earl Palmer there as the pastor at the time when you were there?
He actually was right after. I was there when it was Bruce Larson and Denny Ryberg and Steve Hayner. I was under Steve Hayner and a lot of amazing. That was a training ground for me. That I felt like I had.
Just a legacy church with a great history, great leader, especially campus ministry, student ministry. I mean, you came out of a rich heritage and background, and that's just some really, really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I was actually, not too long ago, I took a C.S. Lewis Institute. It was a long course, but Earl Palmer was one of our main teachers, and that's why I signed up, because he's so great.
That's deep waters. Deep, deep waters. And you're connected to Michael Flake, which is one of my favorites of all time, so that's very fun. Story Hill Church is a great, growing, thriving, blessed church in the EPC, so very, very cool. Okay, well, let's turn into the storm here a little bit. The reason for the Anchor Gathering's kind of existence kind of comes out of that painful experience that you mentioned in your biography with the loss of your daughter. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Going through that storm definitely put on a passion in my heart to want to share with women, with everyone, how real Jesus is and how strong he has held us in the storms of life, especially during the journey of the battle of cancer with our daughter. And then I call it the aftermath. I truly have seen Jesus to be so real for my daughter, my family, and myself, and I just have a burning passion to want others to know.
Well, I've 38 years a pastor, Katie. One of my observations is that people try to rush through their grief far too quickly, and try to, I sometimes call it the spiritual pills for poop people. Christians offer these kind of platitude advice sometimes, but they don't really weigh into the grief and provide the kind of community to support people in the aftermath. Because it's one thing going through it, but then you live with it the rest of your life. And how you live with it is going to be the real difference. And we weren't created to live with it alone, were we?
No, and that's what really, honestly, when I, going through what we did with our daughter and just seeing how the strength of Jesus Christ has held us strong, and then that promise of eternity, that keeps me going strong too. But it was really the fact that there's no way I could do this alone. After what happened, losing our daughter and just the darkness and the grief, I'm like, what do women do out there who don't have, they don't know Jesus? I've got this burning passion. Every woman has the right to hear that good news of Jesus Christ and the hope he brings. So that's kind of what started this passion for wanting to start something, that we need each other. We need that community. We cannot walk this road alone, no matter what storms, you know, what we're facing. There's the big storms and the small storms. And then we just need that hope, the strength that Jesus Christ really does bring.
And how did the relationship with these other women that you began to gather with? I mean, I what I've witnessed, Katie, is when families go through that kind of grief, loss, and tragedy, one of two things happens to a marriage. It either gets closer because the tragedy draws you closer together, or they push further apart because they isolate in the way that they deal with their grief and loss, and they begin to drift apart from one another. How did the relationship with these other women that you kind of found help sustain and even strengthen your marriage?
Well, I think that's actually a very good and deep question. What I think is really helped, because that is so true, everyone grieves differently. Just finding, having the community of women coming alongside and being with one another has helped to kind of pull me through and actually help our marriage as well. Just the people that God's brought in our life, and how that we've seen that over and over, like how God works through his people, bringing them into our lives to help us to pull through, because it's been a really, really hard time. But that's where the promise of the Lord comes in, how he works. And that's what we want, you know, others to know, that no matter how hard it is and how crazy and challenging it is, that God is with us and he does provide what we need, and especially through those people he brings in. And the anchor, I mean, I haven't even begun to hardly explain how that's all started, but that has definitely been a plus and a major part of the ministry, is that having that community and camaraderie together.
Yeah, so you guys started, if I got this right, you guys started in a net shack down on the water. Is that right?
You are good at reading on. Yes, well, here, and let me just go back to the,
okay.
It was 12 years ago it started. It was shortly after our daughter passed away, and that was it. That passion, well, I should back up too, because this is a very cool fact I just thought of when I was preparing for this podcast. I had a vision in Chapel Hill Presbyterian Church years ago when it was in the very beginning. It was a beautiful new sanctuary. I was sitting in the middle of the sanctuary, and I had this vision of having a ministry for women that was a seeker-friendly outreach for all women, that the church would be packed out. But in the vision, here's what had happened. I'd been a part of MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers at Chapel Hill, and I've been a part of Bible Study Fellowship at Chapel Hill. And they're like, we needed something where you could bring any woman to. We need to have a place where all women are welcome to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Mothers of Preschoolers, pretty soon you don't have preschoolers. Bible Study Fellowship, that is a little bit strict. You know, I'm a little more heavy duty with the Bible study. We need that non-threatening environment, that safe place that we could bring someone. And I truly sat in Chapel Hill and had that vision that the church was packed with women. And that was kind of a strange, I hadn't thought of that for a long time. But then fast forward, this net shed business, because it's another great analogy for what is happening. I gathered some friends in my living room shortly after my daughter passed away, and we started to pray about what this, you know, ministry, this gathering could look like. And that is when I saw, and we came up with this idea, let's have this gathering called the Anchor Gathering, totally from a pillow on my couch that had an anchor on it. I just threw out the name Anchor, and we looked at it and thought, there's a cross in it, it's a symbol for steadfastness. I wonder if there's a Bible verse with the anchor in it. Well, I didn't even know at the time. That was 12 years ago. Hebrews 6:19, that is our founding verse. We have this hope, Jesus, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And then that's where the net shed comes in. We then had our very first gathering of women in a net shed. And that is a little...
I was going to say, for people not from the Pacific Northwest, help us understand, contextualize this.
I'm really glad you are bringing this up, because I was going to say, this is the best analogy, I think, for bringing women off the stormy seas of life. A net shed is where fishermen, our town is a fishing town, and it's a harbor. And so fishing boats come in, and these little old net sheds, they're old now, they're not really used, but they're a great analogy. The fishermen would come in these little sheds and just rest, get equipped, be encouraged, and just get ready to go back out on the stormy seas of the fishing life. And I thought, what an amazing example for what the Anchor Gathering does. It's a place, a safe place where women can come off the stormy seas of life, whatever you're doing as a mother or a working woman or whatever your life is doing. This, the Anchor Gathering, is a place you can come away for a minute and rest, be equipped, be encouraged, be filled with hope, and then have that community and be ready to go back to where, you know, your life is. But that net shed was a great place. That first one, 60 women gathered, and the elements, there's core elements of an Anchor Gathering. We always have social time. That's very good, a very important time to connect. We have, you know, snacks and beverages, and then there's always music. There's a song, because people hear the message of hope differently through music. And then we always have the Anchor Moment, which is an interview. We interview someone about, like a guest about their faith journey, their life, and a time Jesus has been their anchor. They've seen him to be real. Then we always have a little message with a speaker, pretty short, on the hope of Jesus and with scripture. And then we always provide discussion questions, so women circle up and can go deeper on issues of the faith and with the message. So that very first one, 12 years ago, was in a net shed, 60 ladies in Gig Harbor, Washington. But then this is where it gets fun. Then it spread to 12 cities, leaders, you know, having an Anchor Gathering in their community in 12 cities around the Pacific Northwest. And it was going strong. And then, you know what happens next.
COVID?
Yes, the pandemic hits. Because I can tell I'm so thankful you've read up on what we've been doing. The pandemic was crazy. That was a crazy time for the Anchor. It was one of those moments, and I'm sure you did as a church leader. I'm kind of having it out with the Lord. Like, are you kidding? We're the Anchor Gathering. How can we gather in, you know, during a pandemic? And that is, I happen to be reading Luke chapter 10, the Mary and Martha story. Just a few verses, but one verse popped off the page. And it said, Mary and Martha, they welcomed Jesus into their home. You know, the word home caught my attention. And I thought, that's it. It clicked. We can bring the Anchor into homes by video. Now, I am not a technical person at all. I would never in a million years thought we'd have a YouTube channel. But that is what we have. We now, the pandemic shifted us. We called it the pandemic pivot. And it shifted us into having these gatherings in homes. And now churches, other venues, we call them watch parties, but they're really just gatherings where women come on board as watch party hosts or leaders, and they invite women into their home or church or venue. And it can be one person to 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, you name it, however many, to invite them on in and to watch our Anchor at Home program together. And the coolest thing about this program is that we've been able to get top contemporary Christian artists who will sing for us, like Stephen Curtis Chapman, Brandon Heath, Natalie Grant for Kane Country. It blows me away, honestly, who we have had be on our Anchor at Home, and speakers from around the country. And it has been an amazing way to reach way more women than we could ever have imagined. And it's all, like, I'm serious, that Luke 10, I encourage you to go look at that little, it's what, verse 38 to 42. That verse about the, you know, Jesus in the home, it was such a great marking point for the anchor. So we now have a kind of a hybrid. We have large in-person gatherings, but the big factor right now are these watch party hosts, leaders, having gatherings in their homes or church. And we've got some exciting statistics. We've got 125 leaders at this time in the Northwest and kind of, you know, sprinkling out across the land. And then we're in 60 cities, and we're in 5 churches here in the Pacific Northwest, and we have over 250,000 YouTube views. I mean, it is more than, honestly,
that's
ever imagine. And there's a lot more here too, but I feel like I've been talking.
Well, that's great stuff. That's God story stuff. I think about the apostles at one point when they were before the religious rulers in Acts. They said, "We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard." And when you see and hear God at work, you can't help but not be excited about it and enthusiastic about it. And that's very contagious in listening to you. So yeah, I want to dig down on part of what you said, because, and then I do want to come back before we conclude our conversation with how people across the EPC or across the country who are listening in could connect with what you're doing and maybe join and be a part of it. So I do want to end there. But before we do, I want you to speak about why, that net shack idea was kind of a safe space, right? The place where they could grow and get encouraged, where they could find rest. I heard you say, it sounds like a space that is intentionally cultivated for them to feel safe. Why is that such an important aspect? I don't think just in women gathering. I think that's anytime any people gather, but it's particularly true, I think, what you've experienced with as the women are gathering. Why is that safe space so particularly important, do you think?
Well, I think it's really important that people have that place they feel safe, that they can share from their heart, and they can ask questions, and they can go deeper on, I mean, it can be any kind of topics, but with the anchor gathering in particular, we provide in a little, we call it a watch party kit, but we provide questions to go deeper with the message that they've heard. Whoever we have speak, that's part of what they need to provide us. There are some like 3 questions. And I cannot begin to tell you what a rich, rich time that is. We hear that over and over in testimonials, how that time women can just be at ease and be vulnerable and have a place to share. And really the anchors for women of all ages, it's remarkable when you sit in a setting with women of all ages, like I'll have here in my home, you know, it's like the 30-year-old to the 80-year-old. So when you're hearing from women of all ages, sharing wisdom, just being there for one another, maybe even like we have times where people, we can pray for someone while they're there. We have women who've never had that kind of community before. The Anchor Gathering provides a place you can bring that neighbor or coworker, family, friend, anyone in the need of hearing hope. It is a very seeker-friendly, you know, non-threatening space. And I think that's so important that women or anyone can have that opportunity to just be able to take a deep breath and be at ease and not have any kind of church experience or any whatever that looks like for them, that they can just come as they are and hear firsthand. This is the cool thing, is to hear firsthand testimonies of how the Lord has worked in a person's life. That says more than anything. And I just cannot begin to tell you how women really come away.
Yeah, so and I mean, I think we're going to look back, Katie, on this time, and here we are just a couple years out from the pandemic. But, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God uses for good. That pandemic pivot that many of our ministries, I've talked to church planters who planted right before everything shut down, and some have not made it because it was just so brutal. And some because they had to turn into the digital space, figured out how to do that. And, you know, that seems to have become a catalyst for you guys. And God has just used something that you wouldn't have imagined happening to multiply this. Now, if someone were listening in and they were interested in being an Anchor Harbor host, I'm not sure if that's what you call it or not, but the home host party person. How would they go about doing that if that was something that they felt like, oh, I could maybe open my home to Jesus and a handful of women? How would they go about connecting and doing that?
Yeah, because we see it now, it's your home or in the church. We think this is such an integral part for the church as a kind of that outreach tool, the evangelism tool that you can bring women in. You go to our website is the easiest thing, theanchorgathering.com, and become a host is one of the pages you can go to, and we will connect with you. Even if you're interested, you can just sign in there and we will connect with you very soon. That's kind of a first step. And I also didn't mention, once you do sign in and you're interested in being a watch party host leader, we actually offer weekly training as well in our four pillars, evangelism and leadership, hospitality, and spiritual growth. And we have two times that we offer for the East Coast and the West Coast. And we do that on Zoom once a month. And it is so awesome to come together and hear what the Lord is doing in these different watch parties and church groups. The churches that we have involved is incredible. I have to say, that's the new initiative that the Anchor Gathering we're going towards, because really that is a key component for churches, I believe, that it is the key to bringing more people into the church. And the Anchor Gathering is really an on-ramp. It's an onboarding tool to use in your church. And especially if you don't have a women's ministry, we have got a turnkey.
You know, 62% of EPC churches have under 100 members, and many of them are not able to staff a women's ministries director or something like that. So you're telling me that a church of limited resources could take this turnkey thing that you guys are doing and minister to women in their community and have it be an on-ramp for reaching people in their community for Christ?
Yes, it is. So honestly, I get so excited. You're going to get me going here, because even in the five churches we have here in the Northwest, we get over and over there's a one church, it's on Bainbridge Island. They don't have a, you know, physical church yet. They are waiting. They're in the building process. They just meet in homes. They take turns in different, you know, church women's homes, and they cannot say enough how thankful they are that we've got it ready. They don't have to do anything. We've got the speaker, the music, the questions. We've got everything for a successful gathering. And then we have another group meeting in a church. The tables are there. You just have to have a TV. You are set to go. And then we've got another church. They showed our passion video in their sanctuary. And they have like 40 to 60 women are coming to another venue. They actually have it at a winery where they view it together, the Anchor at Home program. And then they circle up in groups for discussion. And I just feel like we're just the beginning. I feel like women's ministry gets overlooked, and I think it's the key to growing your church. When women know and hear the good news and are filled with Jesus, they are the best at telling the news, and we've seen that over and over in the Bible. I think it's God's strategy. Women are first. They're the first to see Jesus risen from the dead. They go and tell. Mary went and told, and the Samaritan woman, when she had that encounter, she's the first one to go and share with her household and then her whole town. Women, I really believe, are where it's at for bringing people in, more people into the church. So you can kind of get me going. I get pretty
all right.
I think it's God's strategy.
I love it, Katie. That's great stuff. And it's really because you're providing this turnkey resource, it's something that anybody could do. They just reach out to you. They can get those resources and they can be a part of God's plan as you've described it. I love it. So how do they reach you guys?
Well, go to theanchorgathering.com. And you can connect with us there on the watch party host, become a watch party host sign-in page. And you also, we'd love for people to subscribe to the website, because we have weekly encouragement through a blog, through our Anchor Moments, which are videos of women's stories and encounters with the Lord. And we have a monthly devotional. That in itself, when women come to a gathering, we encourage women to just give out our monthly devotional. It's free and ready to go. It's so easy. It gets women in the Word, especially women who've never opened their Bible before. So we have those resources, and we just really have a lot going on. If you subscribe to the website, theanchorgathering.com, come on board as a watch party host. We will connect with you. Here's what I like to say too. It's a math problem. Very simple. The more women that sign up to be watch party hosts, truly, the more women invited in to hear the good news.
Well said. Simply put, right on the money. Thank you, Katie Robertson. It's been a delight to get to know you, and we'll pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and the Anchor Gathering ministry. And if you would like to learn more, go to theanchorgathering.com and sign up to be that host and see what the Lord might do. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. And if your church has a women's ministry, maybe you could connect them with the Anchor Gathering and what they're doing. If you don't have a women's ministry, maybe this is the opportunity to take that turnkey women's ministry and reach out to women in your community to give them a safe place in the storms of their life to hear how Jesus can be the anchor for them too. We hope that you'll take this, share it with others, like us on social, get that word out there so that the good word of this ministry can continue. As we conclude our time together, my friends, as we always do, I remind you that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. And for by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, my friends, and in him, all things hold together, for he is the head of the body, the church. Until the next time when we gather and continue the conversation, I bid grace and peace to you.
Thank you again for joining us. On behalf of the entire team, please join us for our next episode. For more information about the EPC, including a directory of local churches, online resources, and much more, visit our website at www.epc.org. I'm Rachel Joseph. I pray you have an overwhelming sense of God's presence in all things today.